Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the House of the Lord. This is a very special day for our church. In addition to our celebration of communion, today is the first day of our spiritual enrichment series. Please join us this evening at 7 o'clock p.m., as well as tomorrow and Tuesday evenings, also at 7 p.m. The series is entitled Texts from the Great Commission and will be led by Pastor Dave Stauffer, retired pastor from the East Fairview Church of the Brethren. Pastor Dave is also our church moderator, so we welcome you today, Pastor Dave. Each service will use the Great Commission from Matthew 28, 16 to 20 as a text. There will be special music and a children's message each evening. This week we're praying for the Conestoga Church in Leola, and the Alpha and Omega Church in Lancaster is praying for us. Also this week, please pray for those on page 31 in our church directory. And please remember in prayer those people that are listed in the bulletin. You may have also noticed in the bulletin that Pastor Dennis was scheduled to be the worship leader this morning. And you see me and you'll see Dave up here in a few minutes. Surprise! Pastor Dennis has shared with us that his son Peter, his wife Katie, and the twins Adeline and Rylan have all tested positive for COVID. In addition, Pastor Dennis's wife Kathy is feeling ill, and she is awaiting results of her COVID test. Although at this time Pastor Dennis is feeling fine, he was also tested and is awaiting the results. So please keep the entire Garrison family in your prayers. Also, Dick Forney has tested positive for COVID. He is recovering nicely. Verna is feeling fine, but is awaiting results of her COVID test, which is why our citizens are missing today also. We are also happy to announce that the entire Hostetter family, Chris, Jen, Abby, and Isaiah, have recovered from COVID. We also would like to extend Christian sympathy to the Zimmerman family on the recent passing of John's sister. John, our sympathies are with you. Please quiet our hearts now as we enter into a time of worship with Barb playing our prelude in the organ.
Thank you. Thank you for that beautiful music, Barb. Would you please stand if you are able and join me in the call to worship from the bulletin or on the screen, followed by the singing of Great Is Thy Faithfulness, found on page 327 in the blue hymnal. In the midst of struggle and strife, God is with us. Even though many things in life hurt and disappoint us, God is with us.
We see God's mercy and great grace to heal our wounded souls.
Come, bring your needs and wants to God, for God will hear your cries and restore your souls.
Praise God for mercy, peace, and hope.
Thank you. You may be seated. That was a wonderful singing of that wonderful hymn. Would you please join me in prayer, followed by the Lord's Prayer? Father, thank you that you promise us that where two or three are gathered, you are there in the midst. Lord, we welcome you among us today and celebrate the gift of life that you have lavished upon each of us. We ask that you open our ears so that we may hear your voice. Open our minds so that we may receive your eternal wisdom. Open our spirits so that we may know your healing and guidance. And open our hearts so that we may receive your wonderful love. We ask all of this in the glorious name of Jesus. Our Father,
who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory. Amen. Our senior choir will lead the worship service with two hymns, Chariot Common and Remember Me.
Sweet low, sweet chariot, come and for
For the scripture, I will read Matthew 28, 16 to 20. Please feel free to join with me. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age."
Yesterday, I had the opportunity to attend the Atlantic Northeast District Conference held at the Elizabethtown College. I attended live, and our other delegates, Cindy and Walter Sadison and Dennis, attended virtually. We want to thank you for trusting us to be your delegates for this year's conference. The theme for the conference this year was Be Renewed in Christ. How timely, I thought, as we begin our spiritual enrichment series. I wanted to share with you the logo that was developed for that conference and its meaning. God uses brokenness to renew and fulfill his purpose. The colors of the district logo represent the tan. I know they're a little hard to see, but the tan represents broken soil and seeds to produce a crop, broken grain to give bread, and broken bread to give strength. The blue represents broken clouds to give rain to nourish the crop, and broken heart to give tears. The scarlet represents broken body and blood of Christ on a cross to give salvation and wholeness. And the green represents Jesus' broken heart, tears, and body to renew and raise up each of us, the church. Please pray with me. Dear Lord, we often feel weary and burdened by the demands placed upon us. Help us to repent and believe afresh, that our strength might be renewed, that we might again run and not grow weary. Lord, no matter what we need, the wisdom will enrich our lives and make us whole is found in your word. Renew us with your love and strength so that we may grow closer to you. Please be with our congregation and the congregation of the Conestoga Church of the Brethren and all those that are in need of your strength and healing. Be with Pastor Dennis and his family, and continue to place your healing hand on Dick Forney as he continues to recover from COVID. We also ask you to bless our offering. We thank everyone for their faithful giving, and we are pleased to make these donations in service to you. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Please stand and let us sing I Need Thee Every Hour, page 555 in the blue hymnal. simply invite all the children to come up. Everyone may be seated. Children, please come on up and join Pastor Dave for his story.
Well, I am really thrilled to be with you today. I'm Pastor Dave, and I usually go to a different church, but I'm glad to be here with you today in this worship service. I'm going to start by giving you a test. How many of you are in school? All right. How many of you have already taken a test this year? Okay. How many of you love taking tests? Oh, some of you do. Okay. Well, I'm going to give you a test. All right. And I'm going to have the answers right here because these are hard questions. All right. So I don't want anybody to raise their hand if they don't know the answer. This is voluntary. If you don't know the answer, it's okay. Who can spell dog? All right. All right, very good. See, this is an easy test. Now, who can spell cat? All right, who can spell cow? Well, you didn't even have to think. All right, who can spell pig? Go ahead. I'm going to have to up my game. All right, here's a hard one. Who can spell sky? Go ahead. All right, you didn't even use an I there. Very good. And one last one for spelling. Who can spell far? All right. Now, we're going to change to a different subject. We're going to do a math test. All right. 1 + 1. Go ahead. 2. All right. That's way too easy. Let's go harder. 5 + 8. Go ahead. All right. And 6 + 9. Go ahead. All right. See, you are so smart. All right. Why do teachers give you tests? What's the purpose of a test? To help you get smarter. What else? To test your knowledge, to see if you actually know something that teachers think you ought to know. Well, in the Bible, there's a letter from the Apostle Paul, who was a missionary, to the church at Corinth. And Paul said, "Examine yourselves, and only then eat of the bread and drink of the cup." And you can see we're going to have communion today. And so there's a cup with juice in it, and there's bread to represent the body of Jesus that was crucified for our sins. And Paul said, examine yourself or test yourselves before you take communion. And why did he say that? Because he wants us to be prepared to worship God. And sometimes when we look at ourselves, there's things that are not right in our lives. Did you ever look at yourself in the mirror and see that you have dirt on your cheek? Or maybe you saw a brother or sister that was dirty. Or maybe somebody says, look in the mirror, and you look and your hair is all out of place. We have to check ourselves, look at ourselves, examine ourselves to see if we are ready to meet God. All right, let me ask you some questions that will help us together examine ourselves. So the questions are, do I love God? Yes. Good. We love God. That's important. If we don't love God, well, we need to straighten out and choose to love him. Do I accept Jesus as my Savior? Yes, we accept Jesus as our Savior. That's why we're here, to worship him. Do I obey Jesus as my Lord? Do I see him as the one who tells me what to do and I willingly obey him? Yes. Now, this one's a harder one. Do I truly and earnestly, sincerely repent of my sins? Now, before you answer that, I got to tell you, when I would hit my brother when I was a kid, I don't do that as an adult, but when I was a kid, I did that sometimes because he made me so mad. My parents always made me apologize. I had to say I'm sorry. But sometimes I really wasn't sorry because he deserved it. You know, so it's one thing to say I'm sorry, but to mean that I'm sorry is something completely different. And that's what it means to earnestly, sincerely, truly repent of sin. To say I'm sorry and mean it. The other part about it is it was hard for me to promise not to hit him again. And when we truly and earnestly repent of our sins, we're saying, God, I am sorry and I don't want to do it again. But some of the wrong things we do, we like doing them. And it's hard for us to commit not to do that again. So when we examine ourselves or test ourselves, we look at that and we ask that question. And do we trust God to lead us in newness of life? Do we trust God's power to be at work in our lives? Yes. So we examine ourselves, we test ourselves so that we can come to the point of saying, yes, if anything is wrong in our lives, now's the time to change it. Now's the time to say, God, help me. I'm not living the way I want to. I want to live completely for you. And then we can worship Him with joy. And then we can experience peace. And then we can enjoy God's love. Let's pray. Lord, we are thankful for these intelligent, lovable children. We're thankful that they passed this easy test. And we pray that you would help them to pass all the tests that they face in life. We're thankful for their faith, their trust in you, their willingness to follow you. And we pray that you would help them to have the courage to test themselves to see that they are on the right path. And if not, we ask that you would help them to turn quickly to you, receive your forgiveness, receive the assurance of your love, and then let them walk with confidence in the path that you have set before them. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much for being a part of the story today.
I'm going to be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 27 to 32. The title of this passage is Partaking of the Supper Unworthily. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be answerable for the body and blood of the Lord. Examine yourselves and only then eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For all who eat and drink without discerning the body eat and drink judgment against themselves. For this reason, many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world. We are very pleased to welcome Pastor Dave Stauffer to lead us today in the message titled, The Faith We Examine. Thank you, Pastor Dave.
It is a real privilege for me to be with you today. I have served as moderator for a few years, but I'm glad to be here for your spiritual enrichment services. You'll notice that I'm wearing a mask a lot of the time. I want to take precautions because I am facing double knee replacement surgery on October the 12th. And with all the COVID around, I don't want to be unnecessarily exposed to that. Not that I think you're going to try to contaminate me or anything, but I just want to take extra precautions. Ordinarily, when I meet with people in the church, I like to greet them. If I know them, hug or handshakes. And I'm not going to do that with you this week. So I apologize in advance. Know that I do have affection for you, but I am going to keep my distance from you as a precaution. The other regret I have is that I am not able to share a love feast with you. And I understand, because of the precautions for COVID, that it makes sense to have communion in the pews today rather than a full love feast. But love feast is such an important part of my faith and the Brethren, Church of the Brethren faith. And I'm sure it's part of your faith also, where we are gathered to share a meal and to wash feet and then observe communion. And throughout the renewal, these services, these spiritual enrichment services, I'll make several references to love feast, even though we are not going to be able to do that this week. I asked the children about test, and now I'm going to ask you about test. How many of you love getting tested? Anybody here really enjoy getting tested? Oh, some. Okay, all right. There's always one in a crowd that likes to get tested. All right. So let me run through some different kinds of tests. Some people fear math tests. Those who have studied and know the material are not afraid. Those who enjoy math are not afraid of tests because they do well in tests. It's those who don't study, who don't do their worksheets, who don't feel prepared, don't understand the material, that fear tests. Because when they take a math test and fail, their ignorance is showing. They might feel embarrassed. They might have to do extra work. They don't like tests because it reveals what's really happening in their mind. Some patients fear medical tests. Now, people who are healthy and strong and have no symptoms at all, they don't fear tests. They see tests as something necessary just to make sure that everything is going well. They fully expect that they'll pass the test, but if not, it's early enough that they can make adjustments or changes or do what's necessary to bring about full health. But you may be one of those people, or at least know somebody, who fears medical tests. Sometimes when we are ill and not feeling right or have symptoms, we do not want to be tested because we are afraid that the test will reveal for certain that something is wrong, that needs drastic attention, that we don't want to face. Some drivers fear sobriety tests. You know, if you're driving safely down the road, you're sober, you haven't had a drink, that you're doing everything right, all your documents are up to date, a sobriety test isn't anything to fear. You stop, they check you, you drive on, no problem. But if you're driving under the influence of alcohol or drug, or if you don't have your insurance card up to date, or you're driving while suspended, your license is suspended, the sight of a sobriety checkpoint is terrifying because you'll be caught. You'll be fined. You may lose your driver's license. There's embarrassment and shame for what happened. Some employees fear audits. Those who are ethical and follow all the company's guidelines for expense reports understand that audits are to make sure that companies are good stewards of their resources. But if somebody's been cheating on their expense reports, or if somebody has an undeclared conflict of interest that will be revealed in an audit, well, they fear audits. Some people fear Judgment Day. Those who have been living in faithfulness to Jesus, those who have accepted Jesus as the one who died for our sins, those who have confessed their sins and their reliance on Jesus, have no reason to fear Judgment Day. But those of us who sin, who reject Jesus as our Savior, those who do not follow Him as Lord, fear the Judgment Day because we know that at that point, God, who knows all things, will see that our heart has not been in the right place and that we will suffer punishment for our choices. When Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he explained that when Christians share in communion, it's an opportunity for us to examine our faith, to make sure that we are right with God through faith in Christ, so that when we take the bread and take the cup, we are able to do that with full assurance of God's approval, full confidence of God's peace. It's a reminder of our dependence on God, and that is a good thing. Because when we are left to our own devices, we really mess things up. When we examine our faith, we may discover that we have doubts. I like this passage from the Great Commission, the introduction, where the disciples who had witnessed Jesus being crucified, who saw him die, those disciples knew that he had been buried for 3 days, Friday to Sunday. And then on Sunday morning, some women of their group reported that they had seen Jesus and he was alive. Now you can imagine the disciples who had not seen Jesus, the questions that they would have, the doubts that they would have. And then the women said to them, "We met Jesus and he gave us the message to tell you to go to Galilee and he would meet you there." Now, if we only had Matthew's gospel, we have no record of Jesus meeting with the disciples before they met him in Galilee. Now, from the other gospels, it appears that there were times when Jesus appeared to them and they interacted with him. But just reading through Matthew's gospel, we don't have that. So the disciples took the word of the women who had witnessed the resurrection. They went to the Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had directed them, and then they met Jesus. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. And I am glad that Matthew included that, and some doubted. It is possible to have faith in Jesus and still have doubts. I don't want anyone here to think that if you have questions or doubts that makes you an unbeliever. It doesn't. These disciples who worshiped Jesus just could not quite understand what they were seeing. They had seen Jesus dead, and now they did not know how he could be alive again. They believed that he really was, but they doubted how this could be. And there's sometimes that we will have experiences in life and we just do not understand what's going on. How can this be? It doesn't mean that we have no faith. It simply means that we're honest enough to confront our doubts. The Gospel of Mark records a story that I think helps us. It's a story about a man who took his son to the disciples, asking the disciples of Jesus to heal his son. But the disciples were not able to do that. And then when Jesus came onto the scene, this man with the son who was ill went to Jesus, and here's the conversation that took place. The father said to Jesus, "If you are able to do anything, have pity on us and help us." And Jesus' response was to say, "If you are able, all things can be done for the one who believes." And then the man said, "I believe, help my unbelief." And that's a position I want all of us to be in. To have enough confidence in Jesus to say boldly, I believe you are the Savior. I believe you are the Lord. I believe that you love me. Help my unbelief. Help me in those times when I have doubts and I'm filled with fear, when I have questions that overwhelm me. I believe, but help my unbelief. It seems to, there's another verse that I think is helpful, and that's from the Gospel of John. Jesus said, "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever disobeys the Son will not see life, but must endure God's wrath." It seems to me that Jesus is saying the opposite of faith is not doubt, it's disobedience. He says, whoever believes, and contrast that with whoever disobeys. So as Christians who put our trust in Jesus, we can have doubts, but we continue to follow him. We continue to serve him, even with our doubts. That's the kind of faith I want to encourage. When we examine our faith, in addition to discovering doubts, we may discover questions. The disciples of Jesus had lots of questions, both before and after the resurrection. Before the resurrection, they encountered a man who had been born blind. And the disciples said to Jesus, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Blindness or illness or injuries, they're not God's punishments for sin. Blindness and illness, like sight and health, are opportunities to reveal God's work in our lives. Whether we are sick or whether we are healthy, we can reveal God's activity in our lives. Jesus said that he and his disciples were to use each day to serve God for as many days as they had, as long as it is day, even if they had questions that were unanswered. After the resurrection, on the day that Jesus ascended into heaven, the disciples had questions. They said, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel?" Jesus replied, "It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." The disciples wanted to know the timing of God's kingdom coming to their situation. We might rephrase that question, is now the end time? Is Jesus coming now? Is this it? Jesus did not answer their question. Instead, he declared that God would use them to share faith with the whole world, beginning in their own communities, beginning in Jerusalem, or beginning in Myerstown, and then extending out to all the world. Even not knowing the answer to their question about, is this the end, Jesus said, what you need to know is God has appointed you to be witnesses for Jesus in your own community, in the world, now. When we examine our faith, we may realize that we do not have answers to all of our questions. For some people, not knowing answers is paralyzing or frustrating. I wish I knew. However, it is better to follow Jesus even if we have questions. If we drive a car, we can drive that car even if we do not understand how the car works. We used to put a key in the ignition. I have a car now. I don't even need to put the key in the ignition. After 3 years, I still reach in my pocket for the keys, and I don't need to do that. But I get in the car. I don't know how the motor works. I don't know how the fuel injection system works. I don't know how to fix it if it breaks. But I can use the car, even with my questions about how it works. I use a phone, and I'm sure many of you use a phone. I do not understand how a cell phone works. I don't even memorize numbers anymore. I just punch somebody's face, and they call that number, and magically, through thin air, I get the person I'm trying to get. I talk with them. I don't understand that. I have lots of questions about how a cell phone works. In the same way, we can have lots of questions about how God is working in the world, and we simply obey him, we follow him, we serve him, even if we have all these questions that are unanswered in our minds. We can serve God faithfully despite our questions. So when we examine our faith, we may discover doubts, we may discover questions, and we most certainly will discover sins. One of my major disappointments in being a Christian is that I continue to sin, and other Christians continue to sin. Many of us thought that when we accepted Jesus as our Savior, we died to our sin and would no longer sin. When I read Romans 6, or when I read Romans 6, there's parts of that that make me think, I wish it would be like that. Let me just hit a few highlights from Romans 6. Paul writes, "What then are we to say? Should we continue in sin in order that grace may abound? By no means." And then verse 6. "We know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be destroyed and we might no longer be enslaved to sin." Jumping down to verse 11. "So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin exercise dominion in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions." And then verse 14. "For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace." Oh, I wish that were so. I wish that every person who accepts Jesus as Savior and Lord, who is baptized and is an expression of that faith, would no longer sin. But it doesn't happen that way. And that's a huge disappointment. We wish it did, but it doesn't happen that way. Faithfulness to God requires continuing to serve Him and follow Him despite our sins that get in the way. That's why Paul says, examine yourself. Look at yourself so that you can see where you are falling short of God's purposes. Only after you examine yourself, eat the bread and drink of the cup. When we take communion, we remind ourselves that Christ died for sinners and that God forgives our sins. When a student fails a test, it doesn't mean that that person is a terrible person. That child is horrible. That child has no future. It simply means they did not understand the material. They did not provide the correct answers. And so the teacher and loving parents and supportive people help the child learn the material so that they can answer correctly. When we sin, it doesn't mean that we're horrible people and that God no longer loves us. It means that we have failed to do what is best for us according to God's will. And God is available to forgive us and to lead us in the direction He wants us to go. When we take communion, we remind ourselves of that. We remind ourselves that God proves His love for us, that while we still were sinners, Christ died for us. John reminds us, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He who is faithful and just will forgive our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So we examine ourselves, we find that we have doubts, we find that we have questions, and we find that we have sins. But when we examine ourselves, we might also discover that we have peace, that our faith is strong, that we are confident in God. Life is transformed when we have a right relationship with God. When we believe that we are saved by God's grace and not by our efforts, it takes the burden off us. We don't have to obsess over every single failure because we are not saved by what we do. We're saved by what Christ has done for us. When we accept Jesus as our Savior, God gives us the gift of eternal life. We place our hope in God and not in the circumstances of life. Whether things go right or things go wrong, our hope remains in God. When we live each day with the goal of serving Christ our Lord, we will discover peace. we will live in peace. Here are some Bible passages that describe that peace. From Psalm 4, I will both lie down and sleep in peace. For you alone, O Lord, make me lie down in safety. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. When we examine our faith, we may discover doubts and questions and sins, but by God's grace and power, we can express our doubts. We can ask our questions. We can confess our sins, and we can worship and serve Jesus Christ our Lord. When we examine our faith, we may discover peace. By God's grace and power, we can experience peace in the midst of illness and pain, peace in the midst of family turmoil, and peace in the midst of violence and threats of violence. Paul's own life as a Christian was challenging, yet he experienced God's peace and proclaimed that peace to others. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Gracious God, give us courage to examine our faith. Help us to overcome our doubts, questions, and sins by trusting you. Grant us the gift of your peace through Jesus. Amen. When I discovered that Pastor Dennis was not going to be here today, he was kind enough to send me the work that he had done in preparation for communion. So I'm borrowing his words for this next part. Today is recognized in many churches as Worldwide Communion Sunday. The ordinance of communion in which we participate symbolizes our unity in Christ. It unites each of us in a common bond with believers across the centuries and around the world. Just as many grains of wheat and many individual grapes come together to form one loaf and one cup, so too the people of God, coming from many places and backgrounds, are made into one church, the body of Christ. Here is the invitation. All who are in love and fellowship with your brothers and sisters, who do truly and earnestly repent of your sins, and who humbly put your trust in Christ and desire his help that you may lead a more godly life, draw near to God and receive these emblems to your comfort and wholeness through Jesus Christ. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, "For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" The deacons will at this time distribute the bread. I invite you to take the bread and hold it in your hand. Bread is a common part of everyday life. On the night he spent with his followers, Jesus gave them a powerful symbol of his presence. He made special that which was commonplace and ordinary by taking bread as he had done so often before. He blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them. Then he said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you." Let us pray. As we take this bread into our bodies, O God, may we take the bread of Christ's healing and empowering presence into our own lives and extend it to the others we meet each day. Amen. Please join me in the affirmation for the bread. This bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. In the same way, Jesus took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." At this time, the deacons will distribute the cup. The fruit of the vine was a standard beverage in ancient Israel. That last night, Jesus once again turned something mundane into something holy as he took the cup, gave thanks, and announced to his disciples, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Drink from it, all of you." Jesus' announcement to the first disciples is also an announcement to us. "This cup is the new covenant of my blood. Drink from it, all of you." Let's pray. As we remember the new covenant you established through Christ, O God, may we be renewed in mind, body, and spirit in order to live out of the promise and power you give to all your disciples. Amen. Please join with me in the affirmation for the cup. The cup which we bless is the communion of the blood of Christ. Let us pray. We give thanks, O God, for this holy meal you have given to us. May the power and presence of Christ so evident in this ordinance be evidenced in our thoughts, words, and deeds as we try to serve both you and our neighbors. Keep us mindful of the example of Christ and fill us with your Holy Spirit, now and evermore. Amen.
Let's stand for the closing hymn.
And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.